Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and I hope you're doing well. Hope the weather warms up here for a while, don't you? It's pretty close to spring, and with spring comes baseball, and with baseball comes spring training. Is there anything better than spring training? In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be making my way out to Arizona to spend some time with some baseball friends and to see some spring training baseball and just kind of enjoy the sun. And we have with us today a guy who is definitely enjoying the sun. He is a pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, and for the last couple of years, he's been a pitcher with the Chicago Cubs. In fact, he has been a pitcher with a lot of different teams. His name is Steve Cishek, and he has been around for a while. He's played for the Miami Marlins, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Seattle Mariners, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Chicago Cubs, and now the Chicago White Sox. But the one thing that has been consistent with Steve Cishek during that period of time is his love of Jesus Christ, and that's why we have him on today. He's got kind of an unusual motion. If you've watched him pitch, he throws sidearm, almost underhand sometimes, but he's been very effective. He was the closer for the Chicago Cubs. He can come in and pitch at any time. With the way the baseball world is going these days, sometimes he's save guys, these closer guys, bullpens, start the game. But Cishek has been a closer. In fact, he holds the Miami Marlins record for consecutive saves. He had 33 in a row when he was with the Marlins. And he's an outstanding player, and he's an outstanding guy. And hope to have a chance. I won't have a chance to probably talk to him until we get into the season, but he's a person that I have a chance to talk to every once in a while, and he loves the Lord. There's no doubt about that. And this is an interview that we did in the dugout during the Cincinnati before the Cincinnati Reds game last summer, and I think you'll enjoy his testimony. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Steve Cishek of the Chicago White Sox. Be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today we are with a pitcher with the Chicago Cubs, Steve Cishek, who is having a pretty good year. Steve, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You have a unique style. You have a unique delivery. It's a sidearm delivery, almost an underhand delivery. When did you develop that?
Where I am now. And really, I feel like I throw over the top, so I don't know any different. You know, that's the only way I know how to throw a baseball.
You've been with a number of teams. You were drafted by the, I guess it was the Florida Marlins when you were drafted back in 2007, now that's the right. Miami Marlins. Tell me about your time with the Marlins and what that was like for you playing down there all the years.
Yeah, it was sweet. You know, I'm thankful to the Marlins. You know, they gave me an opportunity to play baseball outside of college and drafted me, and I'll never forget those days. And I feel like I'm almost indebted to them. You know, they gave me the opportunity to be where I'm at today, and got drafted in 07, ended up getting called up for my first time in 2010, and I'm very thankful for my experience with them. It was awesome.
Yeah, tell me about your first day. I think it was in September, maybe September of 2010. Tell me what that was like, taking the mound, and was against Mets.
It was against the Brewers.
Yeah, okay.
It was at Miller Park, and it was amazing. I mean, I was up for about a week at that point. I didn't got a chance to go in. The game was starting to get out of hand. So, when you see that and you're a rookie, you start to perk up a little bit because they're not going to put you in a big situation. You know, typically they'll let the veteran guys go do that. So when I saw the game was kind of out of hand, it was getting late, I was like, this could be my spot, and sure enough it was. And once my name was called, I was pretty nervous, but it was weird. Once I got out to the field, it was just a calming feeling. You know, it's almost like, you know, this is what I've been waiting to do, and the Lord was, you know, gracious enough to allow me to pitch, you know, two innings that day and do well, and kind of made a good first impression with those guys.
And didn't feel the pressure of going into a 1-0 ball game. I think it was like 15-5 or something when they brought you in. That had to
help
a little bit.
I don't even remember. I was just so concerned about just getting the outs. But the next outing, of course, they kind of threw me into some hot water to see how I'd handle it. And a bases loaded two out deal in Atlanta. So that was an interesting one for me.
I know a lot of times guys remember who the first person is they struck out or who made the first out. Do you have any memories of that? Who were the first person?
Yeah, so it was in Atlanta. It was that series. I walked Hinsky. And then struck out Alex Gonzalez to get out of the inning. Yeah, so and I, you know, I love watching him when he was with the Red Sox. I was a Red Sox fan, you know, younger when I was younger, and you know, I knew he was, you know, a great player. So I was happy to face him.
2010, you came up, but it's 2011, 2012, you were kind of learning, and then you really seemed to hit your stride in 2013. Tell me, what were some of the things maybe that you learned or that helped you mature a little bit in the when you till you got to 2013?
Yeah, you know. 11 and 12, I felt good all year, mentally and physically. And then 13, I got to throw, you know, I was started out as the closer of that team. Our team wasn't particularly good. So, you know, when we had the lead, I went in, I felt more pressure than ever because, like, man, this might be the only time we win, like, all week. So I kind of let that get to me and really was pitching a little fearful. And then two Christian friends on the team kind of confronted me and, you know, gave me a little pep talk and just shared with me that I need to be honoring the Lord instead of worrying about, you know, my performances and stuff like that. And it was Juan Pierre and Chris Coughlin. So thankful for those guys. You know, they woke me up there, walked me through some scripture and, you know, after about, you know, a couple outings after that, I was back to normal, so it was sweet.
Chris Coughlin's been a part of face-to-face. He's got a tremendous story, and it's great to know that there are guys out there, aren't there, on teams that have come to know Christ. And you it must have helped you out a little bit because in 2013, I think you went like 36 chances, 34 of 36, something like that. And after you get going a little while, I think you had something like 33 saves in a row or something along that line. Do you get to a place where you just feel like you're in a groove? What Coughlin and Pierre told you must have helped you out a lot, but do you feel like a place where you almost and you get not so much a fear, but you say, get me out there, I really want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. You start enjoying it again when you lose sight of your purpose of, you know, playing the games. For me, you know, honoring the Lord, you know, that's where I lost sight. I was trying to honor myself, and once you get past that and once you're shown the scriptures and, you know, I carry Colossians 3:23 in my back pocket, with whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working unto the Lord and not for men. And, you know, I treat that as an act of worship. You know, I'm commanded in that scripture to work at everything as hard as I can for the Lord's glory. That takes all the pressure off. You know, I'm going out there, you know, busting it, you know, giving everything I possibly have because I'm commanded to. And then in the end, you know, whether win or lose, I can, you know, go to bed with a peace of mind saying, all right, I did everything I could to honor the Lord. And then my teammates, fans, everyone else gets the best out of me, too. So it's a win-win. And, you know, once I got in the groove like that, yeah, you know, you kind of, I don't say the game gets easy. It never does. But you just have a sense of peace going out there and trusting your stuff.
What's your role right now with the Cubs? I know that at times you've got some saves, but you've maybe been a closer. But what's your role right now with the Cubs?
Whatever they need me to do, that's my role. I'll play left field, right field, center, whatever they want me to. But I'm not a good athlete as a lot of these guys. But anyways, you know, I've come in to early in the game, I've come in to close games. Right now, with, you know, Stropey hurt, you know, Morrow obviously, you know, hurt. I've been pitching later in ball games, but really it's just a matchup. You know, where my stuff matches up with those guys, that's where they're going to use me late in the game. And it goes for the rest of the bullpen. We're all ready.
I know you came out of Massachusetts, and of course there's guys that come out of Florida and California, and you've got a lot of Latin players coming up that play year round. But how many times did you get a chance to play a lot in Massachusetts? That had to be a little tough, I would think.
Yeah, our season's maybe a third of what, you know, the length of what like a Florida high school season would be. So for me, we play high school and go right into Legion ball. Our Legion team was phenomenal, and they still are to this day. It's a great program post 188, and we took it very seriously because, I mean, summertime was baseball for us. You know, we played 20, maybe 20 games during the regular season in high school. And if that doesn't work out, we don't go deep into the playoffs. We got to get ready for Legion Ball because that's where, you know, we're going to get most of our work in. So not too many games.
I know one of the big leagues in the area, and I think you were probably really close to it, was the Cape Cod League. I know a lot of guys coming out of college, it's not a minor league, but it really is a place where players develop. Were you involved with the Cape Cod League?
You know, I wasn't. I got offered a temporary contract to play for my hometown, Falmouth, and I decided not to because I wanted to get a full season in, full summer in, and learn how to be a starting pitcher so I can get ready for college. That's actually the one regret I have in baseball is not being able to play for my hometown. I should have just taken it. And the deal was once the guys get back from the College World Series, you know, you're out of a job. But some guys actually stick around if you perform well. And that's something I wish I kind of did just to say I did it. Because I grew up watching the Cape League games.
Yeah, and not only that, you were close to Fenway Park. And I know there was a time, and I don't know the game, but I know there was a time where you got to take the mound at Fenway Park. I'm sure you remember that game. Oh, yeah. Tell me what game it was and tell me a little bit about the feeling.
Yeah, it was 2012. When I first ran out there, I did like grass angels on the field with our backup catcher, Brett Hayes. It was a big deal for me. You know, I grew up a huge Red Sox fan and you know, always dreamed of playing at Fenway and getting the pitch on that mound. So long story short, I got the pitch. Didn't go so great. I got two outs quick, then walked a guy, and then Will Middlebrooks took me deep. So, but I got to face David Ortiz, got him out on a, you know, sharp ground ball up the middle, and it was still like such a surreal experience for me. And the cool part about it too is my cousin, who doesn't play baseball, he's an architect, got to throw the first pitch there last year. So we both got to throw a pitch off Fenway Park's mound. So it was pretty sweet family.
And now
experience.
You pitch regularly for Wrigley Field. Tell me a little bit. It's got to be two of the most unique places to play. Does it ever get old to play in Wrigley Field?
It does not. Wrigley Field is a special place. You know, Fenway and Wrigley, I'd say, and you know, maybe Dodger Stadium, but Wrigley is just amazing. It's probably my favorite ballpark we play in. Just the atmosphere. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Cub. Even when I went there for my first time, I'm like, man, I think I might like this better than Fenway. Even it's something for me to say, but it's true. Like, it's just a special place. You know, once the ivy comes in, the fans get crazy and rowdy. They know the game. It just makes it a special place. And
Steve Cishek is our guest. He is a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more and get to know him a little closer. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Steve Cishek, and Steve, I'm really happy to have you on Face to Face. One of the things, of course, I know is very important to you is your faith. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did not grow up in a Christian home. You know, we went to church early on when I was a kid, but I didn't really have any. The only story I remember from the Bible is David and Goliath when I was a kid, really, you know, growing up through high school and everything. But, yeah, that didn't take fold until, you know, I went to college.
Tell me a little bit about when Christ really did come into your life. You talk about it in college. What happened in college?
I went to a Baptist college named Carson Newman. It's in Tennessee, right outside Knoxville. And, you know, I had some friends, one in particular said, you know, you're a really nice guy, but, you know, I want to see you go to heaven. And that struck me as odd because I grew up believing that if you're a good person, then that's when good people go to heaven. But that was just a misunderstanding of what the gospel was or what it is. So you can say I heard some shallow versions in college. I made a profession of faith back in 2006. But I really didn't live it out. I still continued in my worldly lifestyle. I just sprinkled the Bible in and church in here and there and lived more of a legalistic life. It wasn't until 2010 where I was confronted on those areas of sin in my life from one of my now one of my you know, dear friends, best friends at church. And you know, he confronted me. The same guy that actually introduced the gospel to Chris Coughlin.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I wrestled with that for 2 years, avoided him for a while. But, you know, once the scriptures, I stayed in the word and, you know, the scriptures finally started getting a hold of me. I started getting victory over sin, I'd say around 2012. And that's when I think I was really saved was then, because I had a guy lovingly confront me, tell me that I was living fake Christianity, basically, claiming Christ, but still living in the world. And he read me the scriptures. shoulders, and I knew he was right. I knew the word was right, and I wasn't, but it's something I wrestled with for a little.
That player, and I don't remember his name. Chris told me his name. In fact, I think I remember Chris telling me that he accepted Christ at a Starbucks down in Jupiter, Florida, maybe.
Yep.
And it's a tremendous story. And when you think about somebody like that who aggressively went to you and confronted you, which had to be tough, do you think about the fact that as you look around with teammates and as you look around with different people that you maybe have a responsibility to help guys out to share Christ?
Absolutely. And his name's Darren Roberts, by the way. Yes, I do. I mean, in baseball, you know, if you're a guy that just goes around, I feel like, and just kind of bludgeoning people with the Bible, you're just speaking, you know, what's on your mind and not caring about, you know, what they're thinking. I feel like you have to, like, pick and, you know, pray for opportunities for the Lord to open doors, first of all. You can't just make your own opportunities. And if the Lord opens up opportunities, then share away, you know. So basically, I try to live as much as, you know, I'm not perfect, but I try to live in a righteous life in front of these guys and look different. And sure enough, like, questions pop up and people take notice. And that's when you're able to, you know, share, you know, the love of Christ with them. It's sweet.
And God has moved you around a little bit. After Chicago, you got moved to St. Louis. You were there, a couple of years maybe?
Yeah, I went from Miami to St. Louis for 2 months, actually. I got non-tendered. Seattle signed me to a two-year deal. They traded me on the back end of the deal to Tampa. And then I became a free agent, and then the Cubs signed me. So, yeah, this is my fifth team.
Now, that's exciting to get to do that. But I know one of the things, you have a family. Mm-hmm. And I know that there has to be a time when your wife has to take control. I've talked to many players who say, hey, I just got traded, I'm on my way to wherever, and you got to kind of close up the house and take care. How tough is it on a family? How tough is this life on a family?
That's a great question. It's very tough, especially for my wife. My first time I got traded was really tough for her. We just had our first girl, Emmy. She was, I don't know, 8 months old at the time. We went from Miami. I got traded. I'd become another team's property. I got to go. So she had to pack up the house, you know, move everything up to Jupiter. You know, thankfully, it was an hour and a half away. But still still learning how to be a mom, you know, there's a lot of stress, I'm sure, involved. And we talk about it a lot. So that carried over to when I was in Seattle, which was even tougher because now we had Emmy, my wife, or we had Avery too, our second kid, who's now probably 8 months. She had to pack everything up in Seattle, fly out to Florida, you know, put everything in our house in Jupiter, and then meet me in Tampa. Like, that's so much work for her. And thankfully, we had some sweet wives in Seattle that helped her out, helped her get situated. But still, you know, it's tough to be a baseball wife.
I've got some friends who are players who are in the bullpen. In fact, one of my best friends is Matt Hurges from the San Francisco Giants bullpen coach. And he talks to me often about the fact that there's a real fraternity among pitchers, particularly bullpen pitchers.
Yeah.
You, unlike even among the team members, is it really true that you guys probably get closer than even maybe other members of your team?
Well, yeah, we're like trapped in a steel cage.
You're in a cage out there.
For what, like 3 hours a game sometimes?
And the worst seats in the house, right?
Yeah, you get to know each other pretty quick. In spring training as well, it's huge for us to, you know, spend time together, play some golf together, whatever it may be, just to build up those relationships, because we're going to be around each other all year round. So, and then our wives they have a special relationship too, because they're with each other in the stands through Bible studies, whatever it may be. They're growing their relationship too.
Steve Cishek, one of the things that you've often talked about is the fact that you have to stay strong spiritually. What are you into right now? What are you reading that keeps you strong?
I've been through a series of books, but right now in particular, I'm reading Drawing Near Devotional. It's a one-year Bible plan attached to it, too. So it's all right there. It's by John MacArthur. I highly recommend it. You know, right now I'm up to date. I caught up, you know, missed a day or two here and there. I made sure I caught up, and so that's sweet. But I'm also reading Free to Be Holy by Pastor Jerry Ragg. It's just about, you know, the true, you know, what the biblical meaning of sanctification is, really. And it's such a good book. It's so thick. It's almost like reading a Puritan book, you know, just so much much depth to what he's saying, and I feel like I'm growing a lot through that. I'm thankful for Pastor Jerry's ministry, and then hopefully down the road I'll just be continuing to read and spend my time in the hotel room.
What are the challenges? I know there's a lot of obvious things that go with being a professional athlete, but what are the challenges in your mind of being in the position you're in?
Other than the temptations that come with, you know, we have everything at our fingertips. We get catered to all the time, so it was a propensity to be super relaxed and comfortable, and you know, those things are well and everything, but if you carry that into, you know, your marriage and off-season lifestyle, and you just live the comfortable lifestyle instead of, you know, serving others. We're being served all the time. Like, we need to be able to serve others, especially as believers. That's the call of being a Christian, and I think that's a huge temptation for me, as I just want to stay relaxed all the time, and I need to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to serve others, whether it be on the team, outside in the community, or especially my family. I want to make sure that I'm not being lazy and that I'm on it.
Steve Cishek, I want to close it out this way. I know what your favorite verse is because you carry it around in your back pocket. Do you ever look at it during the game or in the bullpen? Or
Before every time I pitch, I know what it says, but it allows me to pull it out, take just a second to slow down my mind, read it, and then cherish it.
And tell me what it is again.
Yeah, Colossians 3:23. With whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as you're working unto the Lord and not for men or human masters.
Yep. Steve Cishek, thanks for being with us. We look forward to seeing you pitch tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. We're here in the Cubs dugout, and thank you for being a part of Face to Face.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Steve Cishek, the reliever of the Chicago Cubs. We will take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face.
Welcome back to Face to Face. Get a chance every once in a while to text these guys. One of the great things I love about baseball is baseball players sometimes have some downtime, you know, before games or sometimes when you get into the NFL or you get to the NBA, those guys, they don't have a lot of downtime. They come in, it's very intense during practice time, and they go home to their families. But baseball players, it's pretty much of a routine every day. I've often called it a second shift job. You basically, during the season anyway, you go to work at 4 o'clock and you get off at midnight. And have a chance late at night sometimes to talk to these players. And I recently had a chance to talk to Steve Cishek. And one of the things that he says he wants to do is to give God the glory, not just during the times when he's winning, but for the everyday mundane things that pitchers sometimes do, which is work in the bullpen or help out other pitchers. And in every way, he wants to follow Jesus Christ. And I think that's very, very important. Well, if you've followed us over the years, you know that we have a website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. Hope that you'll check that out. We've got various interviews up there. And one of the things that we have, of course, is a number of different interviews from different players. You can put this in your portable device, whatever it might be. And if you're out walking the dog or you're walking the mall or you're just whatever, driving along somewhere and listening. And if you're listening, I hope that you can pay attention still and can do whatever as far as listening. But we've got a lot of different interviews, and I hope that you'll check them out. Facetofaceradio.com. Coming up on almost 30 years since the idea of face-to-face came about. We actually went on the air in 1992, but there's been a lot of different players, and we continue to find a lot of different Christian athletes, you know, particularly in baseball. There's a number of guys, and we want to talk to them, not just in spring training, but during the season, because baseball's kind of under a cloud right now with this sign-stealing deal from the Houston Astros. And that was something that happened that was not good, but that should not be the reason that we condemn baseball or everybody in it. And certainly there's a lot of Christian athletes, not just in baseball, but a lot of different sports. And we want to make sure that you hear from as many of these as you can, and as many as we can get to you. Well, as we close today, we want to give you a verse. And the verse comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 37, kind of an important verse during our time here as we progress toward Easter. It says this: do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. It's one thing I think is very important, maybe during this particular season of Easter, of Lent. Maybe you're thinking about somebody that you haven't talked to in a while, and maybe there's been a breakdown in communications. Maybe this is the perfect time as you head towards Easter to realize that either you need to be forgiven or you need to forgive somebody in the same way that Jesus Christ has forgiven us for all the many sins that we have done. And I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, have come under a cloud at some time of something that we've done and need to be forgiven for. So remember that verse: forgive and you will be forgiven. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll be right back.